Reservable. It's the reservable. It's the reservable. It's the reservable. Coming to you every day.
Welcome back to the Reset Rebel podcast with me, Jo Yule. And this is year 8 of this podcast, which I have been making since 2018, when this wonderful exploration into the island's alternative narrative with the rogues, rebels, rascals of the island absolutely uncovered over more than 200 episodes. And this wouldn't have been possible without you, but we still need your support. Please go and follow us on the subscribe button if you're on Spotify or Apple, and follow us on Instagram at The Reset Rebel. Thank you. We are sitting here with a wonderful gentleman who I've known for a very, very long time. And actually, we didn't meet in Ibiza. We originally met when we were hanging out in Goa. James was a massage therapist, had been living in New York, but was actually from the north of England. And he now lives in Ibiza. Very happy to introduce you to him as the CEO, founder, and new non-alcoholic drinks explorer, Mr. James Winstanley.
Hi, Joe. Thank you so much for having me. So nice to see you. And how appropriate that we're still in dry January and we have drinks to drink, things to catch up on.
Well, we've never been short of drinks to drink. I mean, things have changed since we first met, that's for sure, when we were drinking the nasty, toxic substance that I believe was called Blue Riband in India.
Oh, yeah, the bomba juice, I think, is another good term for it. Probably industrial alcohol with a bit of colouring. But yeah, good times we had, definitely.
I think I met somebody in India once that told me there is no real alcohol in the country. So basically they just have this like sort of poutine, which they then flavour to taste like various different things. So obviously it's like a one size fits all type of product. And then they flavour it to taste like gin or whiskey or whatever it may be. And I just experienced the direct results of that when I was there just a few months ago. And I drank a gin and tonic, or what I thought was. And within a nanosecond of leaving Cafe New, I just felt this like wave, this whoosh of toxicity sort of rising up towards my hairline. And I was like, I felt really, really unpleasant. And the next day, I actually felt worse.
Oh, yeah. Sorry to hear that. I remember having similar experiences. Yeah, the Indian poutine, God bless it. And it's a long way away from Ibiza.
I did actually watch The Great Escape over Christmas, where they, of course, do make poutine, actually, in one of those dodgy old camps. And it's just such a joyous occasion. But I can confirm it was not like that for me. And I felt absolutely tragic the next day and was like, that's it now. Me and drinking in India are firmly over. So obviously, you know, a lot of people out there probably listening to this are just on their last moments of dry January. Whether or not they continue to extend that is obviously up to them. I think it's quite a, you know, matter of personal taste, whether people feel so incredible after a whole month of not drinking and whether they want to carry on or not. But I think it's, you know, it's a very interesting thing that a lot of people explore. But, you know, you haven't been drinking for quite some time.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess it's the sort of Christmas of not having alcohol in your system. I sort of feel like dry January, I guess it's a nice opportunity for people to see if it makes them feel any different. With the drinks that I'm making, they're just alternatives so that you can have a non-alcoholic drink any time of the week. If you feel like you have too much to do the next morning, or you want to drive home, or you're, I mean, there are so many reasons that people might not want to drink on one night. And so it certainly isn't, these drinks are only for people during dry January or when people aren't drinking at all. Yeah. So healthy, functional, tasty, delicious alternatives, I think are really necessary in the world at this point in time.
I think that was something that you used to do a lot of in India, from what I seem to remember. There was always these like mad little elixirs and weird little concoctions and lotions and potions that you were, you know, experimenting with, I, you know. And I do seem to remember sampling a few of them. And one of them had maybe Damayana in it.
Oh, yeah, definitely Damayana. Damayana is actually in True North, which we're about to try in a second. Yeah, Goa is where it all started about 10 or 11 years ago. I think I'd been to a mutual friend of ours party, Helen Noakes, and she'd given me some tincture on the back of my hand, and it had such a sort of profound effect that I got this inspiration to delve deeper into how herbs sort of affect the mind. And being in India, there's so much kind of availability of herbs and powders and sort of knowledge of Ayurveda, so it's a great place to get stuck in. And as we're talking a lot about Goa, in Mapsa, there's this amazing pharmacy, the Union Pharmacy, that have so many different Ayurvedic herbs, medicinal tinctures, homeopathy. And so I would go there with a list of things that I'd been reading about and sort of compile this bag of different tinctures back to my hut on the beach in Mandarin, and then just start kind of tinkering away, blending things, experimenting on myself and my friends. You were one of them. So I guess 10 or 11 years ago was the beginning of what's become Nomadic Spirit.
I mean, I have had Helen on this podcast. Are you sure that wasn't just like liquid acid?
No, definitely not. Definitely not. No. It was, I think it was a Blue Lotus tincture. And Blue Lotus is quite kind of heart-opening. And particularly for the first time that I tried it, I was really quite moved.
Quite moved. In what capacity are we going in? We just, it's like you've just picked up a drink in terror. We're going in. We're going to take our first sip. Wow. Okay. I've not even looked at your website or read the description, but it's, yeah, it's like a very, almost like a orangey, florally, rosy, delicious, Negroni-ish type taste without the booze. I like it.
Great. Well, I'm happy to hear that. The flavors are inspired by kind of aperitivos of old, but also there's a smokiness which I tried to sort of recreate, which I found in mezcal. And when I used to enjoy drinking alcohol, mezcal was a favorite. And so trying to bring the smoke into something which has sort of bitterness and isn't super sweet has been, has been a mission.
I love a mezcal. There's no denying. I think that's definitely something we have sampled in the not too distant past. At one of Carl's little opening do's of his studio, actually, there was a very lovely man there with some epic local mezcal. But yeah, I if I was drinking that, I would not need to have alcohol. It's what's actually in it in terms of the kind of, you said you've been experimenting with all these different herbs and tinctures and lotions and potions, and you're a little tinker. What have you tinkered with?
So the tinkering is, there are three adaptogenic herbs. So just for reference, adaptogenic herbs are a classification of herb that help you manage stress. And that can be emotional stress, physical stress, or environmental stress. And with Nomadic Spirit, and particularly with the first drink, True North, the adaptogens are there to help kind of tackle social anxiety. There's Damayana that we talked about before, which is a heart opener and a mood enhancer. And there's Ashwagandha, which is a root from India, which helps very grounding and relaxing. And then there's ginseng from Siberia, which gives you a kind of clarity of mind and a lift of energy. So those are the three adaptogens. And then there's a nootropic, which is extracted from green coffee beans, which also gives you a sort of gentle caffeinated lift. So the idea being that if you're choosing not to drink alcohol that evening, wherever you are with your, whether you're drinking or not, you can still have a drink which is going to elevate your mood. It's going to give you like a little bit of a lift of energy and wake you up a little bit, which alcohol can do. And at the same time, it's going to make you feel more relaxed and more connected to the people that you're having a drink with.
I did go on a spice farm tour, the organic spice farm tour, when I was in South Goa, when I was there just a few months ago. And actually, that's one of the things that she plucked out of one of the trees. And, you know, she was plucking all these bits and bobs out of the forest and asking us to guess what things were. And actually, one of the things she did get out was a green coffee bean. And I really couldn't identify it at all. And she actually foolishly decided to eat it. And yeah, I did. And everyone looked at me and laughed as I pulled a funny face. But yeah, I had actually no idea that coffee starts off as a green bean. And obviously you have to roast it and toast it to make it, you know, the burnt infusion that we both love today. And that's actually one of the main things I do remember about you and Goa is your absolute passion and dedication to the protocol and, you know, the ritual of coffee making. That's been part of you for as long as I've known you anyway.
Yeah, yeah, I'm a big fan of the bean. And wherever I go, I always make sure that I have some good coffee with me and a good way of extracting it. Yeah, caffeine, it's a great thing. And there are, you know, there are different forms of caffeine. The caffeine in this drink is a little less than you would find in a cup of coffee. And it's a little bit less, it doesn't have the sort of jaggedy come down that strong coffee can have. And then that combined with ginseng gives you a more of a kind of clear lift with the caffeination.
There's a lot of lifting in that sentence. I'm loving a good lift, actually. So, as I said, there's one more day until January, dry January ends, and what a long month it's been. And that's a lie, actually. I have to say, I've been very much enjoying the not drinking thing, and I felt a lot more. I think life becomes a bit grey when you drink too many days in a row, and I had found myself drinking. I don't know if I'd actually had any days off at all last year, to be fair. And then I suddenly stopped. Oh, hang on. Ooh, are we going in with the fizz? Go. I love that sound. How very satisfying. Oof, I'd love a bit of froth on that as well. It's got a good bit of head from the tonic. I think it's, yeah, it's been a long month, but... I'm going to confess that I did have one drink actually at Soho House the other night when I was doing a salon, like an interview with a panel of people about the culture of music in front of sort of 70 people. And I swore blind that I wasn't going to have a drink. And I must admit the anxiety that kicked in prior to showtime. I'd never probably been on stage without having some sort of small little lift, as one might describe it, prior to sitting there. And I was like, I don't think I can do this completely stone cold sober. And they were giving away this incredible looking cocktail that looked a little bit similar to that, actually. Beautiful, with an orange in it, and it all looked very spectacular and delicious. And before I knew what I was doing, I did accept one, and down the hatch it went. And do you know what? Right before I started to speak, again, I had the same effect of this feeling of it just sort of rising up my whole body. And I don't know. I think it's very interesting to sort of have a little break from it. But I think when you do go back to that in those types of moments, it just makes you very aware of, you know, the reason that you do drink, and being slightly uncomfortable or in a state of dis-ease and anxiety and social anxiety ahead of, you know, sitting in front of 70 people from the music industry to talk about something that they probably know way more about than I do. I've been here for 13 years. So it was just like, it was a very observational moment, I would say, to see myself needing that drink, you know, not just wanting it, but feeling like I needed to have it. So it's intriguing. I wonder what would have happened if there'd been something, you know, like that available. Because I think the only other option is usually available in those kinds of scenarios is a 0.0 beer, which I like. And I've experimented with every single, you know, colour of the rainbow this month. But this is really quite, yeah, it's quite nice to have something that's alternative and actually has a really lovely flavour.
Yeah. Well, I think fair play to you first and foremost. Standing up and talking in front of a group of strangers is nerve-wracking for the best of times. And I think that going to have an alcoholic drink, which you know will take the kind of corners off that, is so sort of automatic. And I think a lot of people opt to drink alcohol out of necessity of being able to manage being around a lot of people, and particularly if you're the focus. So I totally understand. And I think having more functional drinks that are available, that become kind of normal, they're available everywhere, will allow people to be able to make a different choice. If they know that there is an option which is going to elevate your mood but also kind of chill you out a little bit, then the sort of only choice of having something alcoholic then changes, and then you have just different options that are readily available, hopefully readily available. And then, yeah, then our choices change, which gives us the opportunity to change our sort of default pattern of, shit, I'm in public, I feel uncomfortable, my social anxiety is sort of peaking into the red, and I need to function, so I need something which is going to bring that down. And alcohol is definitely the sort of easiest thing to come by. But slowly by slowly, we are bringing more drinks out. And yeah, hopefully they'll be more readily available.
I think it's the triggery thing. And I think, you know, having a drink for me marks the end of a day or the end of a stressful week. That's normally when I go to have a drink. And now I've not been drinking for the longest time ever in history, for quite some time. I just feel tired all the time. I feel really tired. And that's the other thing. It was like I felt really flat. And did the cocktail help? Absolutely, immediately. But I think, you know, having the ingredients list that you've got just helps, you know, helps everything, helps all of those boxes that we need to tick, I think, by, you know, reaching for that drink. And it obviously people, all sorts of people all over the world drink for completely different reasons. And I think, you know, anxiety is never going to be soothed by a drink. It's definitely going to be increased. And that was the thing that I noticed, I think, first of all, was like, oh, actually, that just made it worse. So that was just an interesting little thing. But just to say, there was a non-alcoholic version of that cocktail available, and I chose not to have it. So it was interesting. But I think, yeah, this looks like beautiful. And I love the fact that you've put the logo in the top of the ice cube as well, which is obviously a nice little detail. I do like your logo. Who did that for you?
I did. Yeah. Yeah. The branding and the creation of the drink is all me. I'd been playing, obviously, the name Nomadic Spirit. The first image that came to mind was that of a compass. And so I was playing with different iterations of a compass. And then I wanted to make something that I could turn into a stencil as well, so that I couldn't do my own sort of merchandise. But the compass has got too many pieces to it to comfortably sort of work in a stencil. And it was actually my dad. I was back home in Dorset, and he was like, you need something much more simple. And literally that evening I went and sat at the computer, and the TP came out. And there's so much sort of symbolism with the name Nomadic Spirit and having the TP as a logo. It's the structure of the nomad. It's it's a place for people to gather. So it's also kind of a home for people who are of a nomadic mind. And I think the sort of the play on words with nomadic and spirit and it being non-alcoholic, but nomadic to me is also it's an openness to go to new places in your mind, and with the drink it's an openness to trying alternatives to alcohol. So yeah, there's a lot behind the label. If you look here, that is Svedra.
I thought someone had just taken a little nibble out of that one.
Yeah, you're not the first person to think that. But no, I really wanted to include some references to Ibiza because this is where I had the idea and created the drink in my kitchen in San Juan. So yeah, there's a kind of negative piece of the label which with the red liquid shows to be the island of Svedra. And the top, it's the hills around San Lorenzo and San Juan. Actually, those are the only two references to Ibiza in the label.
Did you actually sort of, you know, go out and hike those hills and get your little stencil out and draw them? Or how does that work?
No, I didn't go out with the stencil, but I have hiked the hills for sure.
I mean, how are you finding living in Ibiza? Obviously, you've been here, I don't know, a few years now, and that's probably the most settled you've been since I've known you. So I would say nomadic is definitely in at number one in something that you've encapsulated fully in your lifetime since I've met you.
Yeah. Nomadic spirit. It's the brand is definitely named after me. I came to Ibiza not really with like the direct intention of moving here. But COVID happened and I was living in New York, but I was in Goa. I just finished working, doing a retreat, and they closed the border to the States and the visa, the work permit I had was no longer recognized. So I was like, okay, where am I going to go? And I have, you know, some lovely friends here. So I came really just to pass some time and just see what was going to happen. And 6 years later, I'm still here. Happily so. It was, it was a very welcome kind of change from New York, Brooklyn life. And yeah, I'm really, really grateful actually for the shift that COVID allowed me to make.
I think, you know, you were also doing massage trainings in Goa and working in New York and delivering that as a sort of service, which sounded like a pretty intense kind of lifestyle.
Yeah, it was definitely a lot of physical work. It was a lot of fun. I had some very interesting clients. I was working a lot with NBA basketball players and movie stars. So my clients were, each session was really, yeah, quite different. Giving the trainings, I still do. I still find that incredibly rewarding. Lots of travel, I guess, kind of going back to your previous question, coming to Ibiza, it sort of quelled my wanderlust quite a bit. And prior to coming here, being based in New York, but going to India every year and different places in Europe to teach and also to perform, because at that point I was doing a lot of music. The wanderlust was definitely prevalent, but the nomadic spirit has found a home, happily so, on the island.
How are you enjoying the wind this week? How's that impacting on your sense of nomadicness?
I'm concerned that my garden furniture on the roof terrace is going to end up in the village. Yeah, it's really windy, but I quite like it. It's invigorating.
Well, we actually went out on the balcony a few days ago and it seemed like the top of the table was missing, which happened to be a 2-meter, 4-inch thick piece of glass, and it suddenly vanished. And we were like, oh my God. Wandered around the local neighbourhood and no one seems to have died and no cars have been impacted. Luckily, no pets have been murdered. I don't know what's happened to it, but couldn't find that piece of glass for half no money. And it was just like our faces just fell when we went out onto the balcony to see like what had happened. And it was like, no, this cannot have happened. This cannot be true. But luckily, no one was injured in this story. And I'm very, very, very happy about that because I just don't even understand how that's even possible.
Yeah, well, I mean, no one's been injured so far. You know, there's still time. You still have to locate it. I also have a very large glass tabletop on my roof terrace. And I did wonder, I went and put a big tree stump on top of it out of concern for just the same thing.
Well, I don't know. It's just quite perplexing that it's vanished into thin air. Maybe Mary Poppins popped in, took it off with her, but I don't know. It's gone. Wind in the Willows has taken it. And it's super weird. I just didn't realise the ferocity of it, actually, until I was sitting on the sofa yesterday. And then I just saw an actual tree blow past. And I was like, my mouth actually fell over, actually, and that fell open. And I couldn't believe it. I just, it's been like a proper typhoon. And obviously my mouse has been hovering over the old book flights to go button for the 50 millionth time for the last few days. It's just like, yeah, I don't know how much more of this I could take. In fact, there's a place in mainland of Spain where the highest suicide rate is, and it's the point where east meets west or something with the two types of winds blowing in opposite directions and they meet. And the wind factor there is like the most vicious in the whole of Spain. And that is where most people do tend to pop their clogs deliberately because it drives them mad. And I do find that that is what happens to me on this island when the wind blows. It's, I don't want to kill myself, but it's, you know, it does drive you to the point of like sometimes, you know, the edge. And I'm not reaching for a drink. I'm getting my very delicious non-alcoholic drink into me now.
Yeah, please don't do that. No, don't do that. Well, when you remember where that place is, please let me know, because it sounds like a place that I should really go and stock their bars with this functional non-alcoholic spirit. Their nervous systems sound like they need a break. So yeah, let me know where that is.
I think it's an interesting thing that Spaniards don't really overdo the boozing. You know, when you look around this island, it's not, you know, the Spanish, well, particularly the farmers and the truckers and the land workers and the kind of, you know, the service people of this island do tend to be the ones in the bars sort of, you know, drinking hierbas at sort of 8 o'clock in the morning. And I can't say I really blame them with what they've got coming up in their day. And I just think like hats off to them. When I used to come out of my yoga class and go into this bar between Santa Gertrudis on the back road to San Raf by the roundabout, there's this bar and I'd walk in my yoga leggings after class and like the whole bar, like 20 men sitting on stools would turn around. And I would just have to style it out and go in and order my cortado on the way to the office. And it was just very, very funny to see everyone getting absolutely hammered at like, you know, 9 o'clock in the morning. But I think Spaniards, you know, by their very nature are sort of wine and beer drinkers. And I think they don't drink that much. You know, they have sort of the odd caña or the odd glass of wine, but I think they're quite measured with their drinking. So I wonder, yeah, who is this kind of aimed at specifically? Do you think, you know, who are you sort of tailoring this to? If you were to think of one person that you can imagine drinking a decadent glass of this on a Friday night, who would it be?
That's a great question. I think, well, I mean, I have been choosing not to drink alcohol because it keeps me awake. That's like two drinks, which isn't really enough to make me, you know, to really feel the effects of the alcohol. But then I'm going to have a really interrupted sleep, which means the next morning I'm not going to feel rested. I probably won't exercise and will feel more kind of drawn to eat not the best foods. So that's the next day totally written off. And I'm finding and I'm meeting more and more people on the island who also don't feel the same kind of draw to drink like we used to. I mean, I've been young for some time now, and my sort of detoxification organs don't work the same way that they used to. I mean, I worked as a bartender in New York in my late 20s. And I could drink until 5 o'clock in the morning. I get a couple of hours sleep, have a greasy fry-up breakfast, and be fine for the rest of the day. But it's, yeah, it just doesn't work for me in that way anymore. So, I mean, it's aimed at people like me, but it's also I mean, statistically, Generation Z aren't drinking like they used to at all. But just going back to what we said earlier, it's an alternative just for people when people don't want to drink alcohol at that time. So it certainly isn't, you know, if you've given up drinking alcohol altogether, then this is for you. It's I would like to think that it makes a really kind of sexy grown-up cocktail so that you can feel included. Inclusion's a really big word, to be honest. It's so you're able to be in a social gathering, have a drink which you can kind of savor, which tastes really good, but also which has a sort of gentle function. So yeah, I think the appeal is pretty broad ranging. This drink is quite bitter, and smoky. So if you don't like smoky bitter drinks, then this drink is not aimed at you. It's very versatile. You can make lots of different kinds of cocktails with it. Yeah, it's pretty. The range of people that I think will enjoy it is pretty open.
Why is it so bitter? What did you do to it?
It has a herb called gentian in it, which is a feature of most aperitivos. It's a digestive herb. And yeah, so that's the main bitterness. There's also orange peel. And then, yeah, the smoke. And also there's some rooibos tea in the blend.
Actually, now you come to mention it. Yeah. Is there something sort of just a little bit florally in there, though, as well? Like some sort of rose petal or something?
No, there's no rose in there. The orange, I mean, we have a slice of orange in there as a garnish. There is, yeah, I mean, it's the orange peel, I think, which would be the floral note that you're tasting. One of the challenges of working with adaptogenic herbs is that they're quite bitter by nature. And when you're blending, you know, a few herbs together, then the sort of overall bitterness becomes quite strong. So to make a drink which tastes, I would like to think, delicious, and doesn't have that kind of medicinal aftertaste is a little bit of a challenge, hence it taking 10 years to go from the concoctions in Goa to us sitting in Ibiza drinking True North. Yeah, that probably the figuring out the functionality of the herbs took less time than working out how to blend flavors and extract flavors to be able to sort of compensate for the bitterness. So the bitterness that you taste in the drink is there on purpose rather than there's some sweetness and then a kind of bitter aftertaste that wouldn't be the nicest thing to drink in the world.
Okay, so I'm just popping up here on the podcast to say Happy New Year, Happy 2026. This podcast wouldn't be possible this year without your ears. So please don't go away, but I ask you very quickly if you could just leave us a little review, like us, subscribe us, follow us on Instagram at The Reset Rebel, and we will love you forever. A friend of mine, I like to call her Mad Max. It was Max, but she was definitely mad. And she doesn't live here anymore, sadly. She's a Kiwi. She's awesome. She used to be like a fire dancer and a chef and many other things besides. And she introduced me to adaptogens. I'd never heard what an adaptogen was until she started to make me a tincture with reishi mushroom. And a lorry load of booze, basically, which is obviously the best bit for me. And I was just like, this is delicious. And obviously didn't want to drink too much of it. But she explained an adaptogen as something that enters your body and then will find kind of what needs fixing or where it can fit in to slowly heal whatever the issue may be in the tissue and basically pop in there and fix it up. I don't know if that's a particularly technical term there, but we'll go with it. What would you, is that about right?
Yeah, I think you nailed all of the medical terms in one sentence.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Adaptogens, they work on your ability to manage stress. And stress comes in lots of different forms. One of the other really fascinating things with adaptogens is, depending on how you put together the blend, the herb which is kind of in the front, the rest of the herbs will stack up behind to kind of propel that function. So with this drink, Damayana is the sort of the front herb, for want of a better phrase, and ashwagandha and ginseng sit behind and they help to bring this kind of mood-enhancing, heart-opening, connected kind of feeling. They also have their own properties, so you're getting the benefits of a sort of grounded relaxation from ashwagandha and a clarity and a lift of energy from the ginseng, but they're working as a trio. I just think that's so fascinating. And anything which helps us to manage stress in this world, I just think we really need to have, we need to be able to have drinks like this available to us everywhere we go.
I think, well, when we were using Damayana, we were mixing it with mezcal and just basically dropping 5 or 6 drops in a shot and shooting it, and I don't know, felt pretty high on life. But I seem to recall that it kind of has that effect of being a bit of a love drug or something that makes you a little bit randy.
Damayana is also an aphrodisiac. Mixing it with mezcal definitely should get things moving. There is a brand of mezcal called Gem and Bolt that is a blend of mezcal and Damayana. I don't know if it's available here. The first drinks that that you probably tried in Goa, because all of the tinctures were made in grain alcohol, and I was extracting, I think I was extracting saffron into vodka, because saffron also has a mood enhancing quality. So the drinks were pretty alcoholic. It was a base of vodka plus a bunch of different tinctures. And then I was putting ceremonial grade cacao and vanilla pods. And so it became this sort of very viscous but highly alcoholic shot with all of the herbs blended in there, and it was effective. But I think to have a drink that is commercial, that's a bit of a challenge, to have something alcoholic and then lots of different medicinal herbs combined. My body just can't process the booze like it used to. And so I feel like I really wanted to have mood, something that was going to change my mood that didn't mean that I needed to drink some alcohol, which I guess is the main kind of catalyst for creating the Nomadic Spirit.
Nice. I mean, you know, I think it's good to have these little tricks up your sleeve. And for me, the Damayana, I don't know. I think I did actually take some at Helen's. She was hosting some sort of poetry thing. And I met Murray somebody already. the poet laureate or something from Six Music, who used to do some great stuff on The Breakfast Show with my old radio host guy, Sean Keaveney, when I was working there for all those years. And he used to pop in quite regularly. So to see him in Helen's porch in Goa was very random. And then to be taking a load of this weird tincture, which I'd never tried before. I don't know, actually. I was sent sideways by it and I really liked it, like in a good way. It wasn't like something that left me feeling hungover or bad. It was just novel and I liked it. And I went and bought a ton of it from that pharmacy in Mapusa. I still got loads of it. I don't know how what the sell-by date is, but hopefully it's still good. I must dig it out from somewhere and have another little go on that. Actually, it's been a long time. You just reminded me. Perhaps February is the national month of Danayana after the old dry January. Let's see what happens.
Yeah, it sounds like we both have a lot to thank Helen for. And her parties were absolutely legendary. I was probably at the same one because I remember, I think his name is Murray Lachlan Young. And he'd had quite a famous poem about P. Diddy.
And his baby oil.
No, it was about an aftershave that he'd created, a cologne. And I'm sure that's out there on YouTube. Very, very funny.
Have you seen the P. Diddy documentary on Netflix?
I have not, no.
I mean, that wasn't just aftershave, probably. I mean, he basically just puts like ketamine in stuff and loads of like weird date rape drugs and just the guy, well, this is allegedly, you know, sorry, just add that in there before I get sued. But I think, yeah, I mean, wow, what a story. I had no idea that it had gotten that bad. I mean, if it's all true, which presumably it must be, but I was struck and horrified to hear that he was putting sort of all sorts of drugs into his baby oil and then slathering it all over people so that they didn't really realise that they were getting sort of spiked, basically. So yes, anyway, we won't be doing that with the nomadic spirit. Definitely not. No P. Diddy in here. Thank you very much. Are we giving a bottle of this away? I heard a vicious rumour that we're going to run some sort of competition.
There it is. There's a bottle for your listeners, your viewers, your fans. And yeah, just to reiterate what you said, this has absolutely nothing to do with Diddy. And also just in the poem was written long before any of this stuff came out. So let's change the subject, shall we?
Yeah, he does actually follow me on Instagram, Murray Lachlan Young. And yeah, hopefully he's not listening to this, actually. I'll try not to tag him in the post. I can't promise. Well, congratulations on launching this wonderfully beautiful looking drink that's very delicious. And yeah, if that one's not for me, I don't know if I'm going to give it away at all, actually, because I might just drink it myself. But yes, it's refreshing and good to see you doing something that's obviously been a passion of yours for such a long time, as well as the rubbing and the massaging. We've moved on to tinkering instead. I think you're very good at it. So well done.
Thank you, Jo. You have such a way with words. Yeah. It's definitely a passion project. A decade in the making. And it feels like a huge achievement to be sitting here with you drinking my functional non-alcoholic spirits. Is it fair to say that you're feeling the effects of the cocktail?
I'm feeling the effects of something. I just giggling really at all the ridiculousness that's occurred in the last decade of your wonderful company. I think it was the other thing I was going to say is I've seen on your Instagram actually that you don't find public speaking a particularly comfortable experience. And that's clearly not been the case for the last sort of 45 minutes that we've been chatting, which has been good. And I just, you know, I think just let's finish on the, what is it that makes you so uncomfortable about that, just out of interest?
I don't like attention, I think, is the biggest thing. Yeah, I'm quite comfortable sort of in the background working on the branding and blending the herbs and dreaming up the ideas. But yeah, I've never really, I mean, I've done a lot of performing in my time, and it's always been the question stood on stage in front of lots of people of like, how, why am I here again? So clearly a part of me does like it. But I'm working on it, and I see it as an edge to lean into, and there's wherever your edges are is where the growth is. So I'm putting myself out there. I feel that that the drink is more important than me, and so that helps. But yeah.
But you're not getting into the nitty gritty of what is it that makes you uncomfortable. That's what I'd love to know. A lot of people say this. It's like they come on my podcast course and they hate the sound of their own voice. They don't want to listen back. They feel deeply like, you know, like not able to watch themselves in the footage. Or I just wonder where it's fascinating to hear it from different perspectives.
It's such a great question. It's yes, I mean, I suppose it's a shyness, really, which would be a good reason to drink alcohol. I've just never been someone that kind of needs to have the attention. And I suppose, yeah, there's a certain introvertedness to me. But again, yeah, there's, I recognize that quite strongly now as being the founder of a brand and needing to put my face out there. And so taking that as a challenge and working, yeah, just let's do it, essentially.
I wasn't just like trying to drag out your childhood trauma or something. It was just, what's at the root of all of this for people in general? It's an interesting thing that I, you know, I'm uncovering and unraveling and trying to drag out of people to obviously help them and facilitate them to want to feel more comfortable in their own skin when public speaking or, you know, podcasting or sitting in front of the camera.
It's such a great question. And, you know, going back to where we were earlier in the conversation, when you were sharing about your talk that you gave at Soho House and feeling that you needed to have a cocktail to be able to make that experience not so challenging, I guess. I suppose that those reluctances to be in the spotlight come from lots of different places. So I don't know if it's going to be the same root cause for everybody. And I can only speak for myself, but yeah, I guess it's just the shyness, and it's much preferring to not have to be on the spot, I guess.
It's a very good question.
I remember being on St. Lucia, and I was watching Amy Winehouse's like last ever gig, and she'd been there and she'd been sober and she was looking beautiful, and she was, you know, featured in the Sun and the Mirror like every, you know, other day, looking healthy and happy, and was making a new album, and I was like, oh wow. And then I ended up getting sent out there for Zix Music, and you know, the St. Lucian Tourist Board minister had interviewed him, and he was, you know, saying that he'd built her a studio and all this kind of stuff. And then, you know, the moment came where she had to come on and do this headline slot at the end of the Weekender at the Jazz Festival. And she came on just absolutely trashed, you know, drunk. And I just sort of stood there. Obviously, I wasn't terribly surprised because of her history, but it was just like, what is it that's made her go from, you know, this healthy, happy, wonderful woman that she obviously always is in her own natural setting to this person who's on stage completely out of her brains again? And there's only one reason for that. And I think personally, if she hadn't always been thrust into the spotlight in that fashion, which is something, you know, a lot of us do because we have to, it's part of our jobs. And some people, it doesn't come naturally. It's not a place of comfort. It's not, you know, a nice thing for some people to do. And the only way, as I realized with myself, going to the bar and having a drink, which didn't help matters, in fact, it made it way worse, was like, why did you do that? It's just an associative, habitual brain pattern and cognitive, you know, neural pathway that says that is going to give you more confidence, that is going to make it more bearable. But the actual truth of the matter is it just doesn't. And that's just something that you have to, I guess, break down, you know, yourself, and I guess have a think about. And that is definitely something I've been processing since, you know, last week when that happened. Not that it was a big deal, but it was an observation. And it was just like, okay, I need to change that, because I don't want to be needing to rely on anything to be able to go and sit. You know, if I can't do that out of my own natural juices, then it perhaps isn't something I should be doing anymore.
Well, I think what you do is very much a part of your personality, and I highly encourage you to keep doing what you're doing, because it's brilliant. We've sort of touched on it before, but it's the something which takes the edges off, and alcohol has always been the thing which is most readily available. And then kind of that crossing over into being in the spotlight, being in front of loads of people. I mean, I can't imagine what it must be like to be as famous as Amy Winehouse was. And the pressure of that, plus all of the sort of media machine and everything that goes along with it. So, yeah, I mean, that sounds absolutely horrendous to me. And finding something which helps to manage those sorts of situations, I think, is a quite a human thing also. Bringing the conversation back to Nomadic Spirit, I'd like to think that these drinks kind of, they fit in that space between drinking and not drinking, and to have something which is an alternative which will help to bring your social anxiety down a little bit can only be a good thing. So if you're in a social setting where you have to speak in front of lots of people, if you're just someone that finds being around new people to be kind of awkward and you feel the call to need something which is just going to help things to move a little bit, then healthy options are no bad thing.
I think, you know, as soon as I start to think of an evening about having a drink when I'm cooking dinner, that's when I'm like, oh God, I would murder a glass of wine right now. And then I open up a 0.0 beer and I think, well, I'll try that first. And if that doesn't take the edge off and fix the problem, then maybe I will go and get a bottle of wine. But yeah, as soon as I have that first alternative. So I think just having something to hand this month has been a bit of a game changer. And I haven't made it through the entire month without having a drink, as I've already admitted. But it's been an interesting little experiment. And anyway, we're not going to talk more about Dry January, because I think there's far too many boring people out there just banging on about it. And I'm not going to be one of them. Then we'll finish it here. Thank you very much indeed. The hub is actually closing. The lights are basically going off. And I think the staff want to get home. It has been a pleasure to catch up again. It's been a while. And thank you so much for joining me here on the Reset Rebel podcast.
Oh, you're so welcome. Thank you so much for inviting me on. It's been really fun and so nice to catch up with you.
Thank you so much.
Reset Rebel. It's the Reset Rebel. It's the Reset Rebel. It's the Reset Rebel.